Welcome to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Deep pass, right side, end zone, it's caught!
Presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
It's a touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown by John Brown. It's intercepted by Peterson in midfield.
Oh, baby!
And the Cardinals are going to win the game.
How's that feel?
Here's Craig Grealoux, the Jetstream Roy Green, and Bertrand Berry.
So, first time out for the Arizona Cardinals starters. Pretty impressive, both offense and defense. Even special teams get into the act as well, as the preseason home opener against the Oakland Raiders ends with a win, 20-10. But more importantly, it's how that first unit on both sides of the ball looked, and we'll get into that here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, coming to you live from University of Phoenix Stadium, Cardinals training camp practice number 16, coming up later on this afternoon. Craig Grealoux, Bertrand Berry, Roy Green, all presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Expected to be joined shortly by defensive tackle Robert Kimdichie, who had, well, he redshirted his first season, and now all of a sudden expectations are high, and so far he has impressed. But before we get into number 90, gentlemen, first off, hello, happy birthday, B-Train.
Appreciate it.
And
appreciate
let's just give...
Don't do that, brother. Take a step back.
What you liked, B-Train, against the Oakland Raiders.
The one thing that I like the quarterback play. I thought all three quarterbacks that had the opportunity to go out there and play were very efficient with their time, particularly Drew Stanton. He was really the star of the show. The fact that he was able to really solidify, in my opinion, the backup position for the 2017 season, what he did in that quarter and a half, the competition part of it showed that he's up for it, and he was – conscious of the fact that Blaine Gabbert had a strong showing in that first game. And I think the quarterbacks, and also Josh Bynes at the linebacker position, he was a guy that was all over the field, half a sack, forced a fumble. He really was everything that Steve Keim hoped he would be, signing him a week into camp. So special teams really impressed as well. So all around, it was a great effort. That first half was about as good as you could draw it up to be.
And Bynes, just in uniform, signed a week ago and is already – learned the playbook and perhaps now fighting for a roster spot at inside linebacker. What about you, Roy? What stood out to you about that game here last Saturday?
Well, of course, the things that were before mentioned. But when you talk about preseason, and for me in the second preseason game, even from the beginning, it looked like football. You know, it looked like football. There were so many more positives than negatives. A lot of things to grow on, and as a football fan first, but you know, a guy who thinks he knows a little bit about football, the coaching staff has to be really, really happy up to this point with what's been going on the football field. Not a whole lot of mistakes. Guys are aggressive, offensively, particularly in the first halves of each game, which is really what counts in the preseason. Offenses were efficient. Third downs, there wasn't any plays. You don't see substitution mistakes. Guys are in tune to what's going on. It really looks like football right now. Of course, the levels of intensity is going to go up week in and week out as we move along. But for me, to watch what is happening on the football field since day one up until this particular game against the Raiders, I'm really impressed with the overall status of this football team in all areas, but the quarterbacks definitely stand out.
Carson Palmer played one series, led the team on an opening 14-play drive, 70 yards that ended with Carson Palmer hooking up with Britton Golden on a 3rd-and-12 for a touchdown to make it 7-0 midway through the first quarter, and then that was it for the first team offense. First team defense held the Raiders without a point and their two possessions, but one of the stars defensively joining us right now, Robert Kimdichie, here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, had 3 tackles and 20 defensive snaps. First off, welcome, and thanks for joining us up here.
Of course, man. Thank you for having me up here. It's an honor to be up here and to be a part of the show.
The walkthrough done, and I want to get your thoughts on the one word that has been used to describe you, not only here in preseason but in training camp, but going back to the offseason. Disruptive.
Yeah.
What does that mean when you hear that?
Basically, I mean, is what we, you know, hone on as defensive linemen, We want to be, you know, if you're not, you know, doing things productive, you want to at least be disruptive for the offense. You want to be a, you want to be a nightmare. You want to keep, you know, figuring out ways to get in the backfield and trying to disrupt the plays, because we hone on getting vertical and being 3 yards in the backfield is what we want to do, is what our coach makes us, you know, keep, you know, reiterating and practicing on. So that's something I want to keep paying attention to, and just, you know, being disruptive and getting vertical, because good things come when you're 3 yards in the backfield is what we've been told as D linemen.
You know, speaking of that, as I watch you, Robert, you know, coming into the league, when guys are first playing, when they really, you know the concept, but you haven't done it, you really don't, you're cautious of not making mistakes, so therefore you can't be as disruptive because you're not as quick off the ball.
Exactly.
You're thinking instead of reacting. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Of course. And even in my second year, after being comfortable, after, you know, having a year under my belt, I still, you know, get in situations where I overthink things. And that's where I'm least effective, because you're thinking and it's slowing your first step down, which, you know, the first step as a D-lineman is the most effective step, you know what I mean? So when you're playing D-line and you're thinking too much and you have a slow first step, the disruption comes down, the production comes down, everything comes down, because you're not beating the lineman off the ball. So basically, you know, that's something I've been honing on, is just really getting that get off, you know, working on my hands and working on, you know, the little things that can make you even better as a D lineman. So I've just really been paying attention to that vertical, you know, disruptive step, and using my hands to try and get in the backfield as much as possible.
Robert, what are the goals for the season? I know you're in camp now. You're thinking about practice. You don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. Yeah. You want to take it one day at a time. But every player out there has a goal for a season. And I think if you hadn't set a goal, you need to set goals for the season. That's just one of those things. But in your mind, what are your plans for 2017 season, considering your role, how many snaps you're going to get? What are you looking to bring to this defense as far as an individual?
You know, with every snap I get, I want to be the most disruptive D-lineman, you know, in general. That's my goal. And whatever stats and, you know, production comes from doing that, I'll be fine with that. I want to be the most disruptive, you know, force I can be as D-lineman. That's just across the board. That's what I want to do. You know what I mean? Every snap, I want to make sure the O-line has to make sure that I'm double-teamed, that I'm being watched, because I just want to be disruptive as possible.
When you look at your role and the fact that there were guys that were cleared out, for lack of better words, in order to let you shine, mm-hmm. Do you feel that type of pressure, or do you just want to go out and just do your thing? Do you think about the idea of people that are no longer here because of your presence, or do you just want to go out and be the best player that Robert Kandicha can be?
I want to be the best player I can be, because I feel like if you try to compare and contrast too much, you know, it derives your mind from just having fun and being in the moment. You know, you're thinking that, oh, if I don't do this, oh, if I don't do that, you start overthinking things, and all of a sudden you can be like, oh, I didn't have a sack or a tackle in the first half, now I have to, you know, it can make you get off your gab. You know, you're just overthinking things. So as long as you're being, you just take it like this, I'm going to be the best of me possible. You know what I mean? Obviously, y'all saw something in me, you know what I mean? So I'm going to be the best possible player I can be, because y'all know what I can do, and I know what I can do. You know what I mean? So if that could be better, you know what I mean? That can be, it can be a lot better if I keep holding my skills and reach the pinnacle of my, you know, technique and defensive lineman work. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the best of me possible, and I feel like that should be more.
So far, the best you has been very, very impressive. Robert Kandicha joining us here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. If you want to know about a defensive lineman, you ask an offensive lineman. You brought up the offensive line. Here is center A.Q. Shipley on what he has seen from Kandicha.
He's got respect in our room. There's no question about that. I mean, we respect the heck out of him. He's got an explosive first step. He's quick off the ball. He's always trying to shoot gaps. So if you got to block back on him, it's real tough to get him. If you got to slip away and Jared's got to come and get underneath, it's hard. I mean, he gets in that hip pocket and he's got that good first step. So he's explosive. I'm excited to see what he does. It's going to be very interesting to see him perform.
I'm sure you're interested as well this season, but so far in the preseason, we've seen you blow up plays in the Hall of Fame game. You were part of that 3rd-and-1 stop, and then the 4th-and-1 that the Oakland Raiders were not able to get. What are you seeing on the field that perhaps maybe you didn't see a year ago?
Really the comfortability, honestly, and that's a huge, you know, that's that confidence you have in yourself that you can actually do what you want to do, you know, come up with an injury. You know, I was very injured last year, and especially at this time, and knowing the plays, understanding the playbook, even now I'm still trying to, you know, get even more comfortable with knowing what's going on around me, you know, but of course it comes with time. But last year, you know, you just like, you're just overthinking everything, and you're like, you don't really know what you know what to do, but you don't know exactly what to do. So that, like I said, that first step is like, you don't wanna you know, step in the wrong gap, and we're a blitz team, you know, in a one gap defense, and you know, it can just mess a lot up. So you're just very, you know, you're not as tentative as you want to be. You're just very iffy about what you want to do. So this year I'm a lot more comfortable, and I'm a lot more, you know, willing to go out and do what I want to do, and I'm just more comfortable with my play. So I can do things that I normally can do as a football player.
You know, you just talked about being a one-gap team coming out. You know, everyone could see it, and we particularly see it now. Mm-hmm. With your explosiveness and your speed that people don't really realize, you could probably and have been projected can play anywhere up and down the line.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself being comfortable in other positions besides that? Mm-hmm. And would you looking forward to it?
Of course.
And have they talked to you about it?
They haven't really said too much about it, you know, but you know, they know I'm comfortable with doing, you know, being a three technique, four eye shade, you know, five, you know, whatever what I have to do. Sam, well, you know, I'll go up and down the line and play, you know, because, you know, when you're explosive and, you know, even as a linebacker, that first step, you know, can do so much. You know what I mean? As he can tell you,
oh, yeah.
Whichever the first step in any, you know, position on the line is what can set you apart. You know what I mean? So,
look, I like the on-the-field stuff, but I like the off-the-field stuff a little bit more. So one thing I used to do when I was in camp, I had the keyboard because I consider myself a little bit of a piano player. You know?
Bit,
see, these guys didn't
bit,
know that, but you
little
know, a little bit of little a piano bit. Player. Okay. Oh, little? Oh, we going there?
What you said, little so, bit. It's echoing what you said.
So, look, I think about this in the future. We got Justin Bethel on the drums. We got you on the sax. Mm-hmm. I'll be on the keys. We could have ourselves a little trio. Now, we're going to charge $200 per person because, you know, our skills have to be out there. But do you still pick that up during the downtime when you're in your room?
No, it's actually when I go home. I actually show you a video we did. It was like a little jazz video, like a little.
This is off season. Or this is training camp.
This is training camp.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
See, it's not all film study. There's a way to get out and relax and.
Okay.
So you brought your own.
He's got skills. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's at the house. Yeah.
It's not just about being a football player.
And the look, of course.
And the look. Is it the shade?
Oh, yeah, the shades and the hat.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, honestly, people don't understand, dude, the power of playing an instrument. It centers you. It's a balance. You know what I mean? It's just going away and getting away from all this hardness of, you know, hard work. And, you know, of course, you still can't get in your playbook and study the things you need to. But, of course, you have 24 hours in a day. You know, just to kind of get away and chill, man. Listen to some Grover Washington or, you know, some Kamasi Washington, some John Coltrane. It's some smooth stuff, man, to really, like, balance you. And playing an instrument, you know, blowing those vibrations from a saxophone is some of the best feelings you ever, you know, feel if you ever blow a saxophone. So, tenor sax, somebody go play it.
Blowing best up plays and then going blowing that sax.
You know?
That saxophone, baby.
Best jazz album of all time, Miles Davis, Kind of Blue, without question. If you don't have that, we got to go Miles Davis.
Know.
Come on, man.
I don't know.
You got to go. It's the best album out there.
Charles,
any genre.
Charles Mingus had
Charlie Mingus was good.
Oh, man, what's the album called? He had that little art and it's sick, man. I forgot what it's called. Oh. Mingus is called like Mingus.
We'll get into that discussion. We'll get into that one another time. But that's one we'll definitely have to get into, bro.
For sure.
I got one more regarding off the field. Mm-hmm. I heard you talk about this earlier. In training camp, your trip, off-season trip to Japan. What was that like? What did you do? What did you experience? And perhaps maybe how did it maybe change you?
Oh, it was amazing, man. Honestly, just to, you know, I'm a guy that likes to go different places and understand different cultures because what it does, it puts your mind in a different perspective of understanding. And I feel like, you know, I hate to say this, but as Americans, you know, we don't really, you know, have a lot of, you know, cultural, you know, barriers, and it takes away our understanding of other cultures, you know what I mean, because we don't really get out and see much. So when I went to Japan, I got to see how they are as people. You know, they're very human, they're humanitarians, and they're very understanding, and it was a different, you know, culture for me because I got to understand and see how they do things differently. You know, I did Tai Chi, I did Jiu-Jitsu, I did Judo, you know what I mean? Just how they, you know, focus on the self and the higher self and, you know, the inner core and inner cheese, and, you know, it was a powerful, you know, trip, you know what I mean? It's more spiritual and, you know, culture, religion-based, but it was amazing. And, of course, the physical part, like judo and jiu-jitsu, helped a lot with my hands and, you know, defense techniques that I need to use as a D lineman. You know, I mean, it helped a lot. So I did that for, like, 2 months, and feel like it helped me, you know, better myself as a player and a person.
Well, so, it's showing up certainly on the field as well. And best of luck the rest of the way. And Tramp, appreciate you coming up and enjoy practice later this afternoon.
Thank you, bro.
Second-year defensive tackle, Robert Kimdiche.
Don't talk, bro.
So far, so good. Knock on wood. It stays that way as he is a disruptive force along that defensive line. When we come back, we'll talk more about what we saw against the Oakland Raiders last Saturday night. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Alongside Bertram Berry, Roy Green, I'm Craig Riolu. Cardinals this week host the Chicago Bears, 7 p.m. on Saturday, August 19th. Another opportunity to see this team in action and Robert Kimdiche. More of the Cardinals Red Sea Report on the other side here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Once again, the Cardinals show blitz. They come off the edge, and sure enough, there is Josh Bynes, a brand-new linebacker, and Robert Kimdiche combining for the tackle for loss. Third down and one on the ground. Richard looking for room, tries to the right, slips the tackle. Then he's driven back by Kimdiche and company. The Deech and that big red D line bottled up Richard.
Very, very impressive by Robert Kimdiche. Again, getting penetration, showing that he will not be blocked. If you only leave him one-on-one, bad things are going to happen.
I don't know. Some guy.
Bertram Berry alongside Paul Calvisi on the play call last Saturday night, Cardinals and Raiders. That was that second or third offensive possession for the Raiders in which the Cardinals defense led by Robert Kimdiche blowing up Jalen Richard not once, not twice, but three times, including on fourth down. Appreciate Kimdiche joining us here earlier on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. It's all presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Craig Riolu, Bertram Berry, and Roy Green here at University of Phoenix Stadium. As I mentioned, the Cardinals this week will take on the Bears. 7 p.m. kickoff. That means a 3:30 pregame here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. So a lot to like with Kimdiche and the defense. What did not bring a lot of positivity from head coach Bruce Arians, not just in the game, but certainly in practice on Monday, was the play of his wide receivers. Coach, not calling out names, but making it clear that that room needs to step up.
I thought it was very lethargic offensively. Not very pleased with our wide receiver room. Must have been seeing things back in the spring when I said we had 12 guys that could play in the NFL. I think we might have two. But we'll look around, see who's available.
Shots fired across the bow. Now, to be fair, some of those wide receivers, John Brown, Chad Williams, Aaron Dobson, Britton Golden even have been banged up. But moments ago, Coach, after the walkthrough, meeting the media, and after his comments yesterday, he informs the media that John Brown, Chad Williams, and Aaron Dobson, who have all been hurt and have missed practice, or at least some part of practice, are expected to practice fully, Roy, later on this afternoon.
No way.
Funny how that happens.
Strictly coincidence. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you get the head man saying that he's not pleased, you know, people start trying to go out and get some pleasing. You know, for me, in training camp, there's two positions that you just you can't screw up at. Wide receiver and kickers. Because in training camp, they're not getting hit. They're the only ones not hitting and not getting hit. So there's no reason for mental letdowns. Now, if you know, as a defensive lineman, offensive lineman, linebackers, and even DBs getting hit, beat up, bounced, jostled around day in and day out, you know, sometimes you're going to have a lapse, and mentally you're just not going to be there. But for wide receivers and kickers, there's no excuse for it. And this is my opinion, a guy who played it. It's my opinion. There's no excuse for any letdowns throughout it because you're the guys that are not going anything really physical taxing.
I'll even throw in quarterbacks to that, but, you know, that's just me.
Well, of course.
As a guy who used to go after quarterbacks.
Well, that goes unsaid.
Yeah.
Though. Come on.
And it wasn't effort that coach didn't like. It was the drop passes, not running the right routes, and he did make mention that Larry Fitzgerald and Jerron Brown were not amongst that group, but there were 10 guys, B-Train, that basically were called out, and now they've got to answer the bell.
I really look at this, and I think this has been brewing for quite some time. I think with Larry Fitzgerald, he sets the tone for that group. He sets the tone for the team. And the fact that that position group that is closest to him has not taken on his characteristics and his mentality and their approach to practice as well as the games, I think that's really frustrating Bruce Arians on a much bigger level. And I think this has been – you go all the way back to Michael Floyd. The fact that he did not ever really materialize into that guy that could take over the mantle from Larry Fitzgerald, I think this has been something that's brewing. You throw in Chad Williams not really being able to give you much, being a third-round pick, being highly drafted. This has been something – I think it just all came to a head in that press conference, but I think he's been feeling this kind of way for more than a season.
Now, Britton Golden in the game against the Raiders did have 3 catches for 44 yards and a touchdown. He looked good, but it's the practice, it's the preparation, because there's that old adage, you play how you practice. Now, the game was great, but practice, as B-Train mentioned, has not been great. And I saw you, Roy, standing up doing some exercise.
I'm knocking the rust off, baby.
I don't think we're at that point to where we need to call you out of retirement.
Well, he said there's 10 guys. I can get one of those spots, right?
Wow. Can you still do the go route, though? Can you do the go route?
Well, if it's from the 8-yard line,
oh,
I can.
Come on.
What? Just once, I'd love to see 81 out on the field, just for the heck of it.
For the heck of it. That's so insulting, just for the heck of it. Wow. That's just embarrassing. Yeah. Hey, 8-yard line in, I think I could do something.
Mm. Yeah, too bad it's 100 yards, so, you know, there's a bit of a problem there.
Well, you know, this game is turning to specialists anyway. You know,
you just come out for one play. That's great.
8 and in. That's my group.
Okay.
Of course, at that receiver position, there's also David Johnson is available. And the tight ends, Troy Nicholas had a nice catch from Drew Stanton in that second quarter. And there's another name as far as Troy Nicholas, B-Train, that, yes, he's a Notre Dame alum. I'll give you that.
Cheer. That's right.
But if he's able to stay healthy, he certainly has all the physical tools to be a force in this offense.
No question. And I thought you saw a glimpse of that in the game against the Oakland Raiders. But they really need him not just for his pass-catching prowess, but they need him for the running game. I thought the running game really suffered last year when you didn't have that big, strong, physical tight end that could really set the edge and really give, you know, David Johnson the opportunity to really get around the edge. And so he presents a dual threat, if you will, from the tight end position. And I think he and Jermaine Gresham could really take a lot of pressure off the receivers. If those guys can find themselves as viable targets for Carson Palmer, you don't necessarily have to worry about the receivers going out and each and every time there's a pass play, putting all the pressure on them to catch the ball if you have those security blankets in the middle of the field.
6'6 is Nicholas, and Gresham stands 6'5. So, Roy, those are big targets, especially in the middle of the field when you're going up against, you know, smaller linebackers or smaller DBs that are asked to cover the tight end.
Yeah, big targets. And you understand the fact that with J.J. And Smoke on the field, that more than likely you're going to get corners rolled up too deep coverage. So the middle of the field is going to be where you really want to throw the football, and that's tight end territory. And you have two viable targets at tight end that can, you know, that can work that particular area. Yeah, this makes this offense even more dynamic.
Subscribe to Arizona Cardinals podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Listen to your favorite shows on the go, like Cardinals Underground, The Big Red Rage, and of course this show, the Cardinals Red Sea Report. We are halfway through this edition here on a Tuesday. We do it each and every Tuesday, 11 to noon. This week, coming to you from training camp here at University of Phoenix Stadium. The show continues here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Stand play action, faked Ellington. He's got pressure, steps up, evades the rusher, and gets the ball into the hands of Britton Golden past the 20, the 15. He's inside the 10. What a great job by Drew Stanton to evade the pass rusher, keep his eyes downfield. Stanton with a snap, looking to his left. Now it was flushed out to the right, running, pumping, throwing into the end zone. Caught! Troy Nicholas just past the goal line in traffic. He hauls it in for the Cardinals' second touchdown.
And you see Drew Stanton keeping the play going, able to use his feet to buy himself some time.
Both those plays on the same drive, a 26-yard completion to Britton Golden as Stanton stepped up in the pocket and then rolling to his right, buying time and finding Nicholas, threading a needle into the end zone for a 7-yard touchdown and a 14-0 Cardinals lead, 7 minutes to go in the second quarter. As we welcome you back here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers, visit arizonamb.com to find the dealer nearest you.
Craig Riolu, Roy Green, and Bertram Berry here at University of Phoenix Stadium, Cardinals training camp. And what we saw here last Saturday, Roy, was Drew Stanton in his preseason debut. Both he and Carson Palmer did not play in the Hall of Fame game, and Stanton relieved Palmer in the second series and went 11 of 15, 112 yards, that touchdown to Nicholas in just three series in the first half. He was, in a word, outstanding.
You know, we keep praising our quarterbacks, and rightfully so, for what they've done. And, you know, it just continues, albeit it's preseason. But as I said before, it's really looking like football. So you have to be very happy with what you saw with Drew in that game. You know, moving, avoiding the rush, continuing to look downfield and making a dynamic throw, you know, on the run, you know, for a touchdown. And throughout the course of the game, he looked so very comfortable in the pocket. You know, making the right decisions, play in and play out. You know, it's amazing what competition does. And this is something that B.A. has talked about throughout his tenure here. He always talks about competing, guys, and bringing in guys to make guys continue to compete and play at their highest level day in and day out. And I think you're really seeing that, particularly at the quarterback position. And the second and third quarterbacks are definitely competing. They understand the sense of urgency to get things done when they're in there, and they're both playing dynamic. And Stanton, in my, I know it was preseason again, but for me, it's the best he's looked in any game as a Cardinal.
His 11 completions on Saturday, B-Train, were as many as he had all of last preseason. And a lot of that, as Roy alluded to, people are pointing to the addition or the acquisition of Blaine Gabbert as the number three in that potential. Is there a battle? Is there a competition? Yeah, there's always competition. Is there a battle for that number two spot? I don't know, but if there was one, I don't think there is anymore.
No, there isn't one, and I think for Bruce Arians, he saw all he needed to see in that quarter and a half. The fact that he had two scoring drives, could have been two touchdowns. I mean, had he, had the receiver been able to keep his feet, I mean, that would have been one of the easiest touchdown receptions that you would have seen. But the fact that he was so efficient and he had such lively, you know, activity on the ball when he was throwing it. I just felt like Drew Stanton really understood that he could do a lot by himself to really quell all of this noise about there being a quarterback competition. He held all of the answers in his arm, and I thought he went out and delivered in a big-time way, and that speaks to Drew Stanton, the person that he is. It speaks to the competitor that he is, and I think if you're a Cardinals fan, that made you feel really good about heading into the season as with the quarterback, backup quarterback position really being solidified.
Led two scoring drives in the three possessions that he was out there on the field in the first half. After the ball game, he joined B. Train and Paul Calvisi on the postgame show.
Tried to put a little bit more film study in. They're so different than our defense, and getting a better feel for them, four down, how they like to insert the safeties, what kind of coverages they play. And, you know, just trying to get on the same page with those guys. I've had the luxury of being able to work with the ones a few days, too. So, you know, everything speeds up when you're with that one group.
And your knowledge of the offense, I mean, you know this offense cold.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is that's the beauty of being in this system for this many years and having the luxury of and the trust of somebody like BA to be able to go out there and operate and feel very comfortable and confident in my reads, go out there and try and help everybody, like I said, on the same page with the two offense and go in there and try and get some points on the board.
Was there a sense of urgency as you took the field tonight?
Definitely. You know, I think for somebody in my position as a backup, you want to go out there and you want to put your best foot forward. You know, you're constantly judged, and there's four dress rehearsals that we'll get. You know, we have a fifth one this year, but every time you get a chance to go out on the field, you're auditioning for not only the team you're on, but somebody else, and you want to go out there and put good tape out there.
During that course of that interview, Roy, you heard Stanton mention getting reps with the ones, and I think going back this offseason, they've limited the amount of practice time for Carson Palmer, so there's a natural trickle-down. If he's not on the field, then someone else is. Stanton, Blaine Gabbert getting more snaps, more reps, and I think that, as much as anything, has helped Stanton because he's working with guys who are familiar and a little bit more advanced in learning the offense than maybe he would be during the week, is just getting snaps with the twos and the threes.
Yeah, everything is more coordinated. Like as you said, you know, guys understand where they're going to be. Quarterback knows that they're going to be there. It's more rhythmic, you know, timing. That's what quarterback is all about. You know, taking your three and letting it go, or taking your five and letting it go, understanding – the confidence that, you know, you don't have to worry about if there's four guys coming from this side, they're going to be picked up. You don't have to worry about that when you're with the first group. You know, there's less mental errors up front. So, of course, from a rhythm standpoint, it's going to be easier for you. And as you do that, because it's easier and you're having success, your confidence grows. And I think that that's what we're seeing with Stanton right now. And the biggest part of it is something he said is he's been in the system for so long. He's been in this system for so long. So he's very, very comfortable and knowing. He doesn't have to think, as we talked about with Kamdichi earlier. He doesn't have to think. He can just go out and react and let his skills take over. And he's been doing an outstanding job of that, as I said. I think this was his best game, albeit a preseason, the best game of his, the best he's looked since being a Cardinal, in my opinion.
And let's be honest, B-Train, let's hope that this is the only time we're talking about Drew Stanton or Blaine Gabbert. It's training camp, so you're looking for storylines. But once week one hits, I don't want to see, read, or hear from any of those guys. No offense to them, but Carson Palmer's got to be the quarterback. He's got to stay upright. He's got to be healthy. Because if he's not, then all of a sudden, then you're talking about Stanton and Gabbert again.
Yeah, and I look at expanding this, going to the offensive line. I thought they played pretty well. Now, granted, you know, they didn't. The Oakland Raiders didn't have all of their guys. Khalil Mack didn't play, so you didn't see that kind of pressure. But I really wanted to see Jarrett Veldier and how he held up, because this is basically a new position for him. And when you've done something for a decade professionally and then have to switch it in your mind, you always wonder, will that be something that he's able to do? And I thought, for the most part, he held his own. And DJ Humphreys, obviously very comfortable at the left tackle position. He was able to hold his own in the offensive line, competed as well. So I think the quarterbacks had very little to worry about when they were in the game. So the fact that they could just worry about the downfield reads, it allowed them to play a lot looser, a lot freer. And when you have that type of situation, all three of those quarterbacks are of high quality.
Yeah, that first team offensive line on the field for 15 snaps. No DJ Humphreys as he battles a hamstring injury. So John Wetzel came in, and he has looked very, very good, Roy. And there's another guy that got a lot of time a year ago because of injuries, and now all of a sudden already in training camp he's played some left tackle and he's played some right tackle, which makes him real valuable come Sundays.
Definitely. You know, we always talk about versatility, guys that will be able to insert at different positions, and he's one of those guys. And I think last year was very disappointing as a team, but for him individually, it was big moments for him, because he had a chance to play guard, to play tackle, to get a lot of live game experience. So we have a proven backup in this guy. And, you know, on the offensive line, and B-Train hit it on it definitely. This whole season, we can talk about the defensive line, how dynamic the defensive backs, you know, the running back in Johnson and the quarterback in Carson. Offensive line is going to be the key for our success. It's just that simple. They have to keep Carson upright. They have to knock holes for David Johnson. That's the way this football team is going to win. No matter how dynamic the defense can be, number one defense, number one in scoring, scoring defense. But if this offensive line doesn't play well, this football team is not going to go where we need it to go.
Got to score points to win a ball game. You can have the greatest defense in the world, but you got to be able to put the ball in the end zone or through the uprights in order to get that W at the end of the day. Plan for this Saturday against the Bears, likely the same as against the Raiders. According to Coach Bruce Arians, no more than a quarter. He would like to kind of target 20 snaps. So we'll see what happens this week. Arizona Cardinals single-game tickets are on sale now. Visit Ticketmaster.com or the Cardinals box office to select your seats. On the other side, we turn our attention to B-Train's side of the ball, the defense, and what has happened so far here in training camp and the preseason. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Go take the heart right now. Go down there, go down the field, take the heart out of it. Take the fight out of it. Let's go.
One play at a time. I got you, you got me. We together on this.
White 90!
Ah! Woo! Let's have some fun, baby.
They're ignoring you.
Yeah, they're daring me to make the tackle.
That's right. And they're thinking they can knock it forward.
Right. Just be alert. Do what you do, but just be alert for it. You know what I'm saying? Don't get caught out your gap. You know what I'm saying?
Perimeter! Perimeter run! Coming at you, T!
I got to do something to get that extra step.
You've been wired in to Bertram Berry.
Real proof that the man did play the game.
Sounds so violent, you know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute.
Bertram Berry wired 2008
Ooh.
At Carolina. You remember that game?
I do remember that game. We were cheated. Steve Smith was out. He was not in bounds. He kept running. He did what he was supposed to do, but he was out of bounds. That toe was out of bounds.
I think you made up for it later on in the year.
And we got by the toe again later on that season. So, you know.
You always go
it's all
back
about
to
the
that.
Toe. Yeah, it's all about the toe. Yeah, 2008 was all about the toes. You know what I mean? Got twice.
Well, again, anyway. As we said at the top of the show, we'll say it again. 42 years young, Bertram Berry here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. As we continue here from University of Phoenix Stadium, Craig Riolu and Roy Green as well, talking a little defense. And you brought it up already, B-Train, but let's talk some more about Josh Bynes, one of those time signs plucked off the street a week ago. And what does he do in his Cardinals debut, preseason nonetheless? Well, he led the team in tackles with 7, had a half sack, a tackle for loss, a forced fumble, and a pass defensed. Again, 1 week, and he's already producing like that.
And he checks all the boxes for a typical Steve time sign. A veteran, a guy that is very heady, knows the game smart, picked up the playbook in a week, and was able to go out there with the chip on his shoulder with a point to prove. And anytime you can get that combination all in one guy, Roy, that is absolute gold. And Steve Keim has done a masterful job doing that as general manager, finding these diamonds in the rough, guys that kind of slip through the cracks. You don't necessarily think of as high-profile free agents, but the guys that come in fit a role perfectly here with the Arizona Cardinals, and he was spectacular on the field. And I look forward to seeing him continue to play. Now, granted, he's not going to play a lot because you have the Carlos Dansbys, you have the Hassan Reddicks, and you have the Dan Buchanan, but he's a guy that you know if anything were to happen to the starters, you can plug him in, and at the very least, he's going to do his job.
6 years in the NFL, 3 seasons with the Ravens, the last 3 seasons with the Lions. Josh Bynes has opened up a lot of eyes earlier this week. Steve Keim, the general manager, joining Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, talking about the brand-new inside linebacker.
I was extremely pleased with Josh Bynes, who we signed off the street a few weeks ago. You know, he's been a guy that came in, picked up our defense extremely quick, has really good range and straight line speed. He's physical at the point of attack. He's got some coverability, and he's got some length when you look at his size. He's a little over 6'2".
And again, not coming in to be a starter, Roy, but to provide depth at a position that has had its share of hits as far as the injuries are concerned with Gabe Martin and Alani Fua. But right now, Bynes fighting with Scooby Wright as far as a roster spot. And we've got time here, but that's where you are. From on the street to all of a sudden in a couple of weeks, you could be on the 53-man roster.
Hey, that's what football is all about. It's a what have you done for me lately? Janet Jackson song, what have you done for me lately? And we see that with Bynes, as you said, just off the street and coming in and performing. We hear that through BA just talking about the wide receivers. Hey, I'm not getting what I want. You know, we're going to be looking for people. So that's what football is all about. You know, you get that opportunity. Kurt Warner talked about in his Hall of Fame speech. Who takes advantage of their opportunities? You know, Bynes was a guy who's on the street. He comes in, and he's taking great advantage, I think, of his opportunity because he played outstanding. And the thing that I like most about him is things that we've been criticizing other players. Well, not criticizing. We say they're not quite there yet because they don't know the play. They got to think and all this. Bynes made a great, great comment. He said, hey, look, I learned as much as I could about the playbook, but once I got on the football field, I just said, hey, you know, if I'm not convinced of what I'm going to do, I'm just going to play football and go on my instinct. And that's what he did, and he ended up making plays. And I think that's where a lot of our young players are getting in trouble. They're so caught up in trying to be perfect and then letting their instincts and their football ability take over. Hey, you got drafted to be at this level for a particular reason because you have great, great ability. Mm-hmm. So when you get out there, let it take over. Yes, you need to know what you're doing, but sometimes there's things that are going to arise and you just got to go off instinct. And I think that's what Bynes did a lot of. Although he's been in the league for a long time, knows a lot about football, he didn't grasp the entire playbook in just a couple of days. Mm-hmm. He probably knew, hey, we're going to give you 15, 16 plays, and he knew those. But there were some things that arose during that Oakland game, I guarantee you, where he just played football.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do sometimes. So hats off to him.
And as a veteran, that's what you know and that's what you do well. It's the young players, B. Train, that kind of have to learn how to do that. We've seen that with Hassan Reddick and Buda Baker, that, and even Robert Kamdichie when he was here earlier, as far as being able to not think as much, just react.
Yeah, I mean, and that all comes with experience. It comes with on-the-field experience, and the more reps that they get in practice and in games, the better they'll be, and the more the game will slow down, and they can get back to being the type of athletes that they were drafted to be.
And the next game, the next opportunity, coming your way this Saturday against the Chicago Bears right here at University of Phoenix Stadium, 7 p.m. That means a 3:30 pregame here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. Special thanks to our senior broadcast manager and producer, Jim Omohundro, technical director, Andy Greenberg, in-studio coordinator, Cody Fincher, and our engineer here at the stadium, Tom Kiernan. For Bertram Berry, Roy Green, I'm Craig Riolu. We'll talk to you next week. Break down that Cardinals-Bears preseason game. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. We do it each and every Tuesday, 11 to noon, here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
Great interception by the Badger. Tyrann Mathieu stepped in front.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, John Brown!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.